Now, President Trump unveiled a series of initiatives yesterday in New Hampshire to combat the opioid crisis. He declared the opioid epidemic as a national public health emergency late last year. Initial estimates from the CDC show drug overdoses killed around 64,000 people in 2016. The new White House plan includes harsh penalties for drug dealers and for doctors who overprescribe the drugs. It also calls for allocating more money for research and development of non-opioid painkillers and an ad campaign to raise awareness. Our next guest is here to talk about the plan and some steps that state and federal governments can take to deal with the crisis. Dr. Chris Eberlein is an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System and has previously worked on task forces addressing opioid abuse and addiction. Dr. Eberlein, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon.
Well, did anything in particular stand out to you in the president's address and these plans announced yesterday?
There were several good points that thought made that we've been working locally, and one of the big ones is increasing the residential treatment reimbursement. Before, inpatient reimbursement residential treatment facilities were maxed at 16 beds to get actual money for it, and now they're going to drop that, and they can have more capacity, which has been a big hindrance, at least locally here in Wisconsin, for us to get people into treatment. So it's nice to see, looks like that's going away. That'll help a lot, actually, because we've really had trouble getting people into those appropriate residential treatment facilities.
And that's people who are already addicted, seeking treatment, maybe even wanting treatment, but not having that bed available to them in that inpatient facility. Is that right?
That's correct. Or some of the beds are hundreds, if not thousands of miles away for some people. And this will open up local resources to the point where hopefully we can start to make a dent on the amount of people that need treatment for this.
And are you hoping that this one, what sounds like a subtle change, might lead to more capacity, more facilities where they're needed instead of people having to go that hundreds of miles to get treatment?
Yeah, that is one that we came up locally as a task force with. That was a big problem as far as getting people into the treatment facilities that are close to them or would be approved with their insurance and things like that. So I think that's going to help quite a bit, at least in the state of Wisconsin and hopefully here in La Crosse.
I want to look at some other aspects of the plan announced yesterday. Here's a listen to the president calling for more money to deal with the crisis.
And we've worked with Congress to ensure at least $6 billion additional dollars going through right now in new funding in 2018 and 2019 to combat the opioid crisis. And we will be spending the most money ever on the opioid crisis.
Dr. Eberlein, can you talk about federal funding levels? Is this, I've seen some people say, this is great, but it doesn't go won't go as far as you think. What do you think about this funding that's been passed by Congress?
Well, it's a lot more than we had before, so that's always good. It would be nice to actually see this money start to go towards treatment and prevention. But you know, I think as a community, we'll take the money we can get for this for sure, because we definitely need it, and it's going to be, as I mentioned before, a very expensive problem to fix. But it's been in the works. We've gotten to this point over years and years of multiple other layers of problems, and so now we've got to dig ourselves out of it. It's going to be expensive.
When we look at federal health care policy, what kind of changes from the Affordable Care Act to efforts to dial back the Affordable Care Act, what has all that meant for treatment of opioid addiction?
Well, I think some of it is because we've lost funding for some treatment programs. You know, people don't always have coverage, and it's very expensive to take someone through a treatment program, and the more funding we get for that, the more options we have to get people into these programs and get them back on the road to recovery.
We were talking about President Trump's speech yesterday in New Hampshire laying out a course of action on opioid addiction. Dr. Chris Eberlein is with us from Gunderson Health System. The president is also calling on for research and development of non-opioid painkillers. Here's a listen to what he had to say.
We're taking action to reduce drug demand by preventing Americans from becoming addicted in the first place. So important. That includes increasing federal funding for the development of non-addictive painkillers. And we have to come up with a solution where we come up with a painkiller that's not so addictive.
Is that an important part of the story? That's something I haven't heard talked about as much, Dr. Eberlein.
Yeah, it goes back to we really need to find better ways to treat patients' pain in general. And a lot of this we're going to see, hopefully see, and that's one of the goals that he talked about as well, is decreasing our overall prescription rate. And the goal that he set was a third reduction in narcotic prescriptions, I think he said, over the course of 2 or 3 years. And part of that, the only way to get there is going to be doing some of the steps you're already doing, the best practices for prescribing habits, utilizing the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program database. And that's the database that all providers can utilize to look at, see if a patient is receiving narcotics or sedatives from other providers. And one of the things that we're doing locally is it was often hard when you're seeing the patient to know exactly how much they're getting. And now there's a banner across the top on our medical record that if they're receiving over 50 milligram equivalents of morphine a day, there's a banner over the top that tells you that right away. So as a provider, you know almost instantaneously when you enter the chart if this patient would be at risk if you would prescribe more opiates. But that still doesn't fix the problem that 80% of our heroin users started with prescription drugs. And we need to have other modalities to treat their pain. And if we can come up with other medications that are as effective as opiates that aren't as addictive, that would be ideal. However, and I say that carefully because a lot of the drugs that we have now were initially billed as non-habit-forming and no abuse potential, but we all know that to be false. So we have to be careful that we actually get drugs that are truly non-addictive to replace the ones we have.
Right. In our toolkit now, we have the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, the ibuprofens and aspirins and whatnot that people are familiar with. There have been some studies that suggest that for some kinds of chronic pain, those drugs might have been as effective as the opioid-based drugs. What are we seeing out there when it comes to using other pain relievers that we already have?
Absolutely. In fact, there's been some pretty good evidence that the utilization of these non-steroidals, ibuprofen-type products and Tylenol, if you followed patients out for a couple of years, their quality of life and pain control was the same as those that were on opioids. So that's just another part of this educational component for our providers and for the patients that they have to realize that these opiates are not a cure-all for pain. In fact, oftentimes you're no better off than had you been on these non-narcotic medications, and in a lot of ways you're worse because then you've got other problems.
Now, there are a lot of people, when you go to the comment sections on stories about cutting back on opioid medications, there are a lot of people out there who have had fairly traumatic instances, survived an accident or a very painful medical problem. They take some kind of opioid-based pain medication. They rely on it for the pain. Maybe they are also hooked on it now, and they may be in a position where they're losing that all of a sudden. And that can be a very dangerous time. How do we deal with the people who are in that very difficult position?
Yeah, I agree. It is. Some of these patients are in really tough spots, and I see them in the ER frequently. They've been now, their physicians starting to dial back on their narcotic usage. And if they're not mentally addicted, they have a dependence on these drugs. Their body is now dependent on them. And we know that change occurs in some people fairly rapidly when they initiate these drugs. And so this is where close monitoring with your primary physician who is prescribing these drugs, talking to your primary physician about your concerns with this, and looking at different ways to treat your pain and appropriate tapering of these medications is really going to be something that's going to have to be worked through our system. And it's going to be, these are going to be longer appointments. It's going to take more time. And we're going to need more providers trained on how to safely get patients off of these drugs onto other types of pain control and yet to not have them have this time period where they're in a lot of discomfort, because no provider wants to see their patients in pain. And what we want to do is taper them off of these medications that could be more harmful to something that isn't as harmful and hopefully is more effective for them.
do we have the time and the resources and the medical staff available to deal with this? Because if not, I mean, we hear the stories again and again. That's the point where people turn to the black market, a heroin or an illegal synthetic fentanyl or something like that.
Absolutely. And the time it's going to take is going, and that's where hopefully some of the $6 billion will start to come through, is to help these patients get the help they need and to support some of the providers in getting the patients off these. And that's going to be through education and training and, more physical therapy referrals, chiropractic, acupuncture. I mean, there's all these other modalities that we can utilize to help these patients out. And a lot of them sometimes aren't covered currently. We're going to have to relook at how we cover these sorts of treatments.
Talking to Dr. Chris Eberlein from Gunderson Health System right now, looking at President Trump's proposed plan to fight opioid addiction and sales in the U.S. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's plan, what we've talked about so far? He's also talking about crackdowns on illegal drug dealers and providers who overprescribe medications, calling for a pretty significant cuts in the amount of opioid drugs prescribed. If you or someone you know are in this position relying on opioids for pain management, what concerns do you have? What help do you need? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about President Trump's address on the opioid crisis yesterday. Our guest is Dr. Chris Eberlein. He's an emergency physician at Gunderson Health System. He has worked on opioid task forces. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What response would you like to see from the White House, from the federal government on the opioid crisis? What do you think of what President Trump has said and done so far? How have you seen this affect your community, maybe your family, maybe your own life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Eberlein, enforcement was a big part of what the president had to say yesterday. Here is a listen to that part of his speech.
Whether you are a dealer or doctor or trafficker or a manufacturer, if you break the law and illegally peddle these deadly poisons, we will find you, we will arrest you, and we will hold you accountable.
I know law enforcement isn't the main part of what you work on, but what are your thoughts on that part of the president's address?
I've talked to, working on the local task force, a lot of our local law enforcement. They need more support, and so clearly they're going to be looking at getting more support from the federal government to help with this. And the synthetic opioids that are coming into the country are a real problem. We've been seeing this. Locally, we've had our first car fentanyl death not long ago, and you know, these drugs are incredibly dangerous, and there's a big concern amongst even first responders and responding to these calls and going into houses and treating patients that they would become exposed to this too. So it is a problem in enforcement. Now this is a multifactorial problem that's going to take a lot of different resources and groups to solve it.
Let's go to our callers now. Penny is with us in Black River Falls. Penny, hi.
Hi. Yeah, my question is, my husband has ALS, and he's atypical. He's been dealing with it for over a decade, and I just don't see how a non-opioid painkiller would work for somebody with a fatal, debilitating disease. I also watched my mother die of cancer. So with these fatal diseases that are so extremely painful, I just don't see how, like, non-opioid steroid painkillers are going to work for these people.
Penny, thanks for the call. Sorry for the loss of your mom, and best of luck for you and your husband. And Dr. Eberlein, that's initially what these drugs were out there for, right? People with very painful and probably terminal conditions. Is that right?
That is correct. And I feel sorry for what her family's going through. Very difficult diseases to handle, that is for sure. Initially, these were for cancer patients, cancer pain, and they will always play a role. There are going to be some patients, and it's going to be more case by case, that will not get good pain control without narcotics. And this is where that case by case discussion with your primary doctor, your oncologist, hospice, things like that, that, you know, we don't want to see these patients suffer, and these are the patients that are most appropriate for some of these drugs. And we're going to have to make sure as we go on that these patients aren't left behind.
Penny, thanks for the call. Go next to Steve in Palmyra. Steve, hi.
Hi. Yeah, in regards to this opioid thing, and this is a terrible thing. I've went through it myself. I've had a couple of family members go through it. And I want to tell you, the withdrawals were just unimaginable. I had no idea, you know, what I was in for. Had I known, obviously, I wouldn't have gotten myself where I did. I mean, I've been clean going on 6-7 months now. But, I mean, I wanted to die. It was just unbelievably sickening. And it's so sick. I never been that sick in my life.
Steve, thank you for calling. 6 months clean, I think you said. Best of luck as you continue with that. Dr. Eberlein, the withdrawal, and I'm sure you've seen this, the withdrawal, famously difficult and hard. This is not an easy thing to get out of.
It's not. And the withdrawal can be so bad that you will get patients that are overdosed, and after they get Narcan, they'll tell you they wish that you hadn't done that because that puts them into an immediate withdrawal. So that, I mean, it kind of gives you an idea how painful and uncomfortable some of these withdrawal symptoms are. And this is something that it's somewhat treatable. And there will always be a little bit withdrawal as someone comes off these drugs, but it can be managed with other medications and with close monitoring and tapering of these medications.
Thanks a lot for the call. And again, good luck to you. Sharon is with us next in Madison. Sharon, hi.
Hi. I'm kind of back with Penny. I'm curious. I also have been taking opioids for probably 10 years, prescription of 15 milligrams in total a day. One day I might take 5 milligrams. I might not take anything for 2 or 3 days. There may be a day where I need to take 10. Or 15. I never exceed that. I don't feel that I have an issue. Are there people that don't have to have a problem when used appropriately?
Sharon, thanks for the call. And Dr. Eberlein, of course, we won't ask you to diagnose anyone on the phone, but your thoughts on long-term use of, I guess that's a lower dose of opioids.
Yeah, she's actually on a pretty low dose. It doesn't even come up to the getting flagged in the medical record yet, which is good, and I'm glad that's controlling her symptoms. And it's purely going to be a case-by-case with your primary provider. If this is something that's working for you, I don't think any of us are saying that these drugs should never be prescribed, ever. We're just saying that for those that other treatment modalities work, and we know that the U.S. does consume about 90% of these narcotics, so we know there's significant overprescribing. However, some patients will need these drugs to lead their productive lives.
Thanks for that call, Sharon. We'll go next to George in Beaver Dam. George, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I retired from the military, and I had messed up my back pretty bad. I'd been to war 4 times. I've been on a steady dose for like 6 years, and you know, it just doesn't. I know there's a huge issue with it because I also work in healthcare. But I'm wondering if there's any studies that show the percentage of people that actually are at risk developing, you know, addiction versus those who just stay on a regular dose and are happy with it. Because I, and the blogs and stuff I follow, I see a lot of guys who are worried about this and being cut off.
George, thanks for the call. Dr. Eberlein, research on who is maybe more prone to become addicted?
Not good research. We have not yet come up with that magic survey to tell us that you're at high risk and you're not. You know, there are some clues. Obviously, there appears to be a genetic component. It tends to, you have multiple addicted patients in one family, or clearly someone else in that family would be at higher risk. If you've had addiction problems with other alcohol and other things before, you might be at higher risk, but there is not good evidence there. And patients that are on these drugs chronically, what we're doing is we're trying to look at and see if it is appropriate per patient, and if there's other things that we can do to help them take a medication that isn't as dangerous to them.
Very briefly, Dr. Eberlein, for people taking that long-term opioid medication, might it be a good time to say, talk to their doctor and see if they can come up with a plan to see if there's another option?
For sure. And that's really what we're looking at, is take a look at the patient's whole picture, figure out what is the best treatment program for them. Some of them will need narcotics to control their pain, but there's a lot of others that probably don't. And they may have not even tried other things that might work well for them. And that's what we really have to look at.
Dr. Eberlein, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Dr. Chris Eberlein, emergency physician at Gunderson Health System. He joined us today to talk about President Trump's proposed plans to combat the opioid crisis. The president spoke on that issue yesterday in New Hampshire.